It's good to be welcome home. You know, at times when you're always going home, everybody in the house, because they see you every day. I'm not saying that they take you for granted, but you know, at times when we're too used to one another, we tend to lose the reverence for some things. For example, we might be very used to, you know, every Sunday we go to church, that even going to church itself has probably lost its reverence, its purpose, the joy, the longing, you know, what normally will stir up in our hearts. We'll just go. You know, when you were chasing that damsel, your heart was always longing to see her. Now you're married. You see her every day. What happened to your heart? It's no longer longing like before. So today, I want us to pray against familiarity. I don't know if there's a spirit called spirit of familiarity, but you know, don't let's over spiritualize things. But let's just pray that in a fresh way, that you and I will hear the voice of God today. That this will not be another service. That this will be a time of refreshing from the presence of God. That in a new way, in a fresh way, not necessarily new, but Lord, stir up that joy of salvation within me. Stir up that longing within me. Stir up that desire that I had when I first got saved. The desire I had for you. The desire longing to hear your voice. The desire to be with you where I was just satisfied just being your presence. Where I was ready to shut the world away. And all I wanted was just you. Please, let's pray for ourselves. And if perhaps you are here today, you are still searching. You are still seeking. In all sincerity, you don't really know God. You want to know him today. Just pray, Lord God Almighty, in a new way, reveal yourself to me. Let me know you. Let me hear your voice. Speak to me. Speak to me. I ask. Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is joined together. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's by your name that we are called. You are our Father. We bear your name. We all belong to you. We are all the works of your hands. Thank you for bringing us into this place again. Thank you for drawing us by your Spirit. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Thank you for restoring the joy of salvation. Thank you for bringing us into your presence by the blood of Jesus. We come and we receive cleansing. We thank you for purifying our hearts, removing every clog, removing anything that will hinder us hearing your voice, oh God. Thank you for removing sin, transgression, iniquities. Thank you for uprooting whatever you have not planted. Thank you for bringing down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Thank you for bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we just receive from you a new heart. Create not a new heart, a heart longing, thirsty for you. A heart, Lord, that is ready to receive your word. And Lord, I ask you, in the simplicity of your word, send your word of truth. And Lord, may every one of us hear the voice of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you very much, SAP Church, for inviting me into this holy convocation and holy gathering. I don't take it lightly. I don't take you for granted. And I don't take anyone for granted either. Every day, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray that we should ask for daily bread. Daily. Because the bread of yesterday, according to divine calculation, is not meant to be used and eaten today. If our experience of God is the experience we had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or even 6 months ago, or even last week, if that's the only experience we still have, then we are in danger, serious danger, of losing what the Bible calls the times of refreshing that comes from the presence of God. We're in danger of not growing, because it is what we eat that determines how we grow. So today, I'll read to us 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll tell us briefly what I want to talk about. And this is going to be a three-part teaching. So today will just be the first part. 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside, I'm reading from the New King James Version, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, or like the King James puts it, that the Lord is good. Let's go again to Psalm 34 verse 8, and then we'll come back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 verse 8. The Bible declares, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. If we go back to that 1 Peter chapter 2, there's something that is key there, and which is where we will take this series of teaching from. It is about growing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow thereby. And then verse 3 tells us, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, I woke up this morning, and I really want to thank God for times of refreshing that personally I have from any time I fellowship, any time I, in all sincerity, come to God with my pure, with my heart open and naked to him. Anytime I remember that, wait a minute, I have not spoken to my daddy today. I have not had some conversation with my daddy today. And, you know, I thank God for the times we had when we entered the seventh month of this year, when we began to have a stirring to pray. We went into the 7 days of prayers. of asking, of seeking, and knocking as a church. Now, you see, it's good when God shows you things to come. It's good when God, you fellowship with your daddy, with God, and God will tell you this and this and this is going to happen. This and this and this will happen. You see, when God tells you things to come, is to prepare you. And if you don't prepare, what God said will happen will still happen. But it will meet you when you're not prepared. So you wouldn't really know what to do because you did not prepare. Everything that has got to do with God and God's creation is growth. Everything must grow. That is how God designed creation. And if I can ask any one of us here today, is there anyone here who doesn't like to grow? Is there anyone who is satisfied? And, you know, I'm not talking of, you know, some of us have plateaued now. You've reached the 6'1 or 5'5 you will ever reach, you know, vertically. Some of us have stopped growing vertically, but we started growing horizontally. Some of us have started growing forwardly. You know, I was looking at a picture of my classmates, you know, secondary school classmates, and I was just studying all of them. It's either, you know, some of them have developed no hair. You know, you can develop no hair. Your hairline starts receding and everything. Some of them have developed white hair. All the hair on their head white. Some have grown white beard. In fact, it looks like that's the trend now. Just shave your head and grow a white beard. You know, it seems like that's the fashion, that's the vogue. You know, I thank God because God is old-fashioned. You know, so I always stay with God. So I can be very old-fashioned. You know, deliberately I don't follow fashion. But I was looking at some of them. And then I noticed that some of them now have grown big tummies. Some of them are very wide. In fact, somebody had to be asking when they posted some pictures up that, who's that guy? Who's that guy in the middle between so and so? And then they told him, is this guy? He said, no, I can't recognize him again because the guy has grown both vertically, horizontally, you know, diagonally, is grown, you know. It's really, really grown. What I'm just saying is that everything grows. But the question is, how does it grow? As newborn babes, God wants us to grow. And God's growth is more of not just physical, not just materially, because the Bible tells us, you know, what does it profit a man? You acquire the whole world, you gain everything, you grow in the number of properties you have, you grow in the number of lands you have, you grow in the, you know, amount of money in your bank account. At the end of the day, you lose your soul. Nothing is going to go with you. Absolutely nothing. No matter how fat your bank account is, the day you breathe your last and they throw you inside that carton and throw you 6 foot under, let me see which bank account will follow you. It won't. So there must be something more important here that God wants. It's our spiritual growth. It's our knowledge and understanding of Him. The Bible tells us in this same 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4 or thereabout, or 2 Peter. Because of time, I don't want to go there. But it says that when we see that the signs of the last days coming, we should grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see the last days approaching, we are in the last days. I am telling you, there is an avalanche of evil everywhere. The human race is under siege. Terrible, terrible siege. And the siege does not know any age. Diseases now have been diagnosed that used to be with adults. They are finding them in children. And the worst epidemic, and please, over these 3 weeks, I'll be talking a lot about mental health because that's the only way science can explain it. The worst epidemic that is hitting the human race now is mental health. mental ill health that young people, children as young as 8 years, because they can kind of even scientifically diagnose things now, are battling with depression. Tell me what an 8-year-old is looking for. He doesn't have a wife. I'm not saying wife will cause depression. Maybe husbands do. Are you kidding me? Because men can be funny, but let's leave men alone, right? I don't know what an 8-year-old is depressed over. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have children. He probably has loving parents who, when he wants iPad 5, they buy him iPad 5. iPad 6.7 comes out, they buy him. He has all the gadgets. He has everything. He has food. All he needs to is to ask, he gets. Even the one he doesn't ask for, the parents will buy, because they want their children also to belong. And then the child is ending up with depression. Where is all this coming from? It's an evil. It's evil that has been released upon the human race like never before. And these are the signs of the end times that Jesus spoke about. He warned that these things will come. But the Bible tells us, 1 Peter, I think maybe we should actually look for that, because I don't want to just, you know, I'm not in a rush. We're taking this for 3 weeks. Where it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone's found it, any Bible scholar in the house, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Thank you, sir. No, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Let's go there, so that we will see the context in which God wants us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at let me read it so that we get the context. Let's read from verse 10. Look at it so that you get the context on which the growth in verse 18 is taken from. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's the last days, the final day, the judgment day, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons should you be, ought you to be, in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, elements will melt with fervent heat. And if you read on, keeps on telling us, verse 14, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And then when you go down to verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. In these last days, the growth that God expects of us is that we are growing spiritually. So this first teaching is about growing up. Sorry, I will title this Desire to Grow. Desire to grow. Now, meditating on this and having a fellowship and wonderful time, and I really thank God, and I will encourage every one of us, don't joke with your spiritual life. Don't joke with your growth spiritually. This time, this end time, what will sustain you from all this barrage is that you are growing spiritually. Because before things happen in the physical, they first are settled in the spiritual, in the unseen world. Let me put it that way. Things don't just happen. Things happen in the unseen and then they become seen. So if you and I are strong in understanding the things that are not seen, then we'll be able to handle the things that are seen. If we're strong in understanding spiritual things, then we'll be able to take care of physical things. Mental health is not really something you see, but it's something that manifests. You don't see it because somebody's sitting down beside you. You don't know if they've gone. It's all in the mind. The mind gets, I've forgotten now, the several thousand of thoughts that run through our minds per second. Several thousands. Several. Run through the mind. As you are sitting down now, you can think, if you know the number of thoughts you are processing. And if you process and a wrong thought comes to you, you can go bonkers. That's the mental health we're talking about. If you don't know how to, as the Bible says, take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, you are going to be attacked. Science calls it mentally, but I'm telling you, it's actually spiritual. It's unseen. I don't know what you're thinking. Nobody knows what you're thinking. Some of us might be here now, and you are actually depressed. But nobody knows because you are smiling. Nobody. You know, there's this funny advert in my country of birth when they were warning people about HIV and AIDS. I mean, for a long time, I didn't know the difference. So I just called everything the same. But I understand after I got a little bit of knowledge that HIV is a virus. If it enters your body, it damages, I'm trying to be layman now, your immune system, and your immune system breaks down, and then if it continues to break down, it becomes full-blown AIDS. AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It means you are immunally deficient. I don't know if I just created that word. Is there anything like immunally? Doctors in the house, help me. So once your immune system is gone, you are a goner. Ordinary bacteria can just kill you because you don't have the immunity to fight it. So from my country of birth, they said, AIDS or HIV doesn't show on the face. You can see somebody looking, smiling at you, chasing you. You're a young girl. You don't know what he's carrying. You don't know what he has acquired. And because it has to do with the immune, you don't see his immune. When you go on a date with a young man or a young woman, do you say, let me see your immune? Can you open your immune system? You don't know. People are ending up in relationships before they know it, they have been infected. You think all these things are ordinary? But when knowledge comes, it makes a difference. You know how to battle something when you have grown in the knowledge of that thing. You know how to handle life when you are growing in the knowledge of life. The Bible says we should grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us we should desire the pure milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word of God, so that we may grow. Now, the question is, do you desire to grow? Which is what we are hammering on today. Do you have a desire to actually grow? Do you have that desire? What's a desire? Something you long for. Something you are longing to see. Is that sincere desire to you? Is that a desire in you? Or you have seen coming to church or coming for a fellowship as, you know, a place where you meet good people. They dress well, And maybe you are looking for a wife, just go to that fellowship, you find a wife. You know, what have my eyes not seen as a pastor? I still remember I've seen men, just all of a sudden, influx of men in the church. And one of them was bold enough to come and tell me that actually we were told that there are lots of girls in the church where you pastor. And I'm actually interested in one of them, your choir leader. This is not present, so I'm not talking of Sapphire. Otherwise, you will have to answer. You have to see Ezekiel about that one. And I'm telling you, that guy is not easy. He can punch. But he doesn't punch. Okay. What were they looking for? And then I found out that the two of them were married. Yeah. The man who was looking for a sister in the church and his friend who also was looking for a sister. They were both married. They were having problems with their marriages. But the girls they are running after don't know. Knowledge. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What does God want us to know? What does God want us to grow in? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will save you and I in this time and age we live in. If you don't have a desire to grow spiritually, to grow in grace, to grow to know God, then there's a problem. If you don't know there's a problem, I am telling you, there is a problem. There is a problem. A massive, big problem, because when you are alone, it is what you know that will sustain you. Forget about it. You can amass 10,000 likes on social media, and everybody's hashtagging, I stand by Sarah. Are you getting me? In your hour of need, nobody's going to be there to stand with you or by you. In that inner recess when you are going through your meltdown, when nobody will be there, it is what you know. And let me put it this way, it is who you know that will carry you at that time, on the inside of you. Do we desire to grow? Do you have that desire? If you don't, I pray that that desire will be stirred up in you today so that you will be able to live this life and live like a champion. Problems, trials, challenges will come. You know, I just meet people nowadays and, you know, I'm stressed, I have many things I'm doing. I don't know how to cope. I don't know this. I don't know that. Men, women, it happens to everybody. But do you know, if you know what to do, you won't be stressed. If you know how to handle stress, then you won't be stressed. If you know how to cope, you will cope. It's what you know. If you know God, the Bible tells us that the people who do know, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people who do know the Lord their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Strength comes. I'm talking of inner strength. I'm talking of spiritual strength. It comes from what you know, who you know, the God you know. Our general overseer was sharing something. He said when he was much younger and he found out some truths from the scriptures, he would challenge anybody. They would tell him some people are full of demons, they are this, they are the champions here, they are masquerades here, I don't move near them. And he said he would challenge them. So one day he went to preach and he told all of them that this is the number of my car, this is the number plate, this is the car, this is the color, everything. I challenge all you demons here. I'm traveling after this crusade. Let me see any one of you who will try to kill me on the way. I challenge you. He said openly. Said after he said that, he made an altar call. And all the evil people in that place came out to give their lives to Christ. And they asked one of them, you too, chief. He said, when a small boy is talking like that, then he knows what we don't know. There must be something he knows. It's not something. It's who he knew. He knew the creator, the maker, the one The Bible says we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is the God you know. It is what you know. It is the knowledge of grace and knowledge of Christ. And we grow daily, daily, daily bread, fresh revelation. Every day we are confronted with challenges. And every day, what we steer ourselves to do is to talk to God every day and ask God for, ask him. I'm confronted with this. I don't know. What do I do? Why am I going this way? What's happening to me? Why is this delay? Why is this problem? What should I do? Ask! Jesus said, ask. Your father knows what you need. Your father knows, just like every other Gentile, people who don't have covenant with God, your father knows you have need, like them, but he still wants you to ask. It's not that God does not know. So if nothing is happening in your life, it's because you are not asking. And the more you ask, God is more willing to talk to you, give you answers, give you direction, give you instruction if you are ready to listen. But it comes with desire. Do you have that desire? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not that they may, they shall. If you have a desire, if you have a hunger, if you desire to grow, you will grow. Now, let me end with this. Meditating this morning, and I was talking with my daddy. I just love it when I call him daddy now. And you know, you need to hear the testimonies of people now after the 7 days of prayer we had as a church. Because look, let me tell us, we're at a point now, we're not messing around anymore. Anybody who wants to grow, anybody wants to know God, anybody wants to know Jesus, anybody wants to be discipled, please, you're welcome in Love Assembly. Anybody who's looking for something else, you're not welcome. That's the truth, because the time is short. Right? There's no point hanging around people who are going nowhere, because you will end up following them. We are going somewhere. We want to grow. We want to know God. We want to come for Bible study on Thursday and hear God speak to us. We want to come on a Sunday. We want to hear God speak to us. We want to grow. We want to grow. We want to know God more. We are hungry. We are thirsty. We want to see God move. We want to see God answer our prayers. We want to see God do miracles. And you need to see what God has started doing this month. We don't have time for games. Let me just tell us. So I was talking with my daddy this morning, and it drew my attention. Please bring that verse. Sorry, sir, I've overshot my time. I'm under authority. Am I allowed to just explain newborn babes? Babe? Are you a babe? Let me just stay focused. Let me stay focused. Shall I say it? Some of us, I notice these days, I don't know, maybe something about this generation. I notice everybody call their wives babe, husband babe, wife babe, what's happening, babe. Babe. When you marry to, you say babe. Babe lucky, lucky babe. Yeah. It's okay to call you babe, but please desire to grow. That's where I'm going. As newborn babies, crave, desire, long for the sincere milk of the word. And daddy pointed my attention. A newborn babe. Go and study newborn babes. Please, as I close, what does a newborn babe need to survive? What does a newborn babe live for daily? And when the newborn babe does not get it, that's what God is talking about. When you don't get his word, you should be crying. Because you cry the baby will not keep quiet until it gets milk. And then my question is, who teaches these babies how to do? Because they just came out. The next thing they are looking for, And if they don't, they smack them. Wake up, come alive. Ask the mother of a newborn babe. Their greatest worry is that their child is not eating. It's not craving for food. That's where God wants us. And the attitude he wants us to put on. Every day you don't hear God, you cry until you hear him speak to you. Give us this day our daily bread. And as newborn babes, when we desire the sincere milk of the word, the consequence is that we will grow. But there's an if, and I will major on that next week. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. Maybe the problem some of us have is that we have not tasted God. Can we bow our heads to pray? You've not really tasted God. You are just doing religion. You grew up in church. All you know is that they tell you on Sunday you must come to church. It's become a tradition. Have you tasted God? And today I want to pray. I want to sincerely ask every one of us to pray. Lord, I want to taste you. Psalm 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted him? Have you? Do you know what God tastes like? Have you genuinely, sincerely say you have tasted God? If not, you have the opportunity today. Don't delay, because one more delay is more dying. Some of us have tasted God, but we have stopped tasting him. The taste of God we have is 6 months ago. 3 years ago. You can narrate the day you got saved. But no fresh taste. That's the challenge. Lord, I pray right now, let there be a stirring. Please open your mouth and talk to God. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. I want to know you. Lord Jesus, I pray, reveal. Reveal. Give everyone here a refreshing. Give everyone here a fresh encounter. Lord, the times we live in are evil. The days are evil. Some of us will leave this place today, Lord, and challenges are waiting. Some of us will leave the house in trouble and we're going back to meet that trouble. Lord God Almighty, show us what to do. Show us what to do. Some of us are going through stress right now. Serious stress. Exam stress. Work stress. We don't know what to do. And we're dying daily. Dying daily because we're ignorant. Dying daily because there's no taste. Please, please, I pray you, I beseech you in the name of Jesus. If you've never tasted God, maybe that's why you don't have that desire. I pray in the name of Jesus. When you have a desire, you will see. Anywhere God is mentioned, anywhere God, anything to do with the word of God is, you will be there. Nobody begs you to come for a Bible study anymore. Nobody has to text you. If it takes texts to remind you, then you're dying. No desire. No desire. If you prefer to go and work, work and work and work till you drop and die, die like a goat. Die. And then even the work, they just make a 1 minute silence for you. Meanwhile, you've lost your soul in the process. Brethren, it's an awakening. It is an awakening. Just pray from your heart, Lord, help me. We learned last week to ask for help. Swallow your pride. It won't give you indigestion. Swallow. Open, expose your shame. Despise it. Look unto Jesus today. He's about to author. He's about to begin something. about to begin something in you, in you, in you, in you. Can I ask every one of us to stand? Stand as a sign that you want a fresh touch. And just pray. Please pray. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lord, touch me afresh. Some of us, is the joy of salvation we need to pray for again. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Some of us, you know, the Holy Spirit is far from you. Spirit of God is far. You've grieved the Spirit of God over and over, and it's far. Help is far. Help is just far. But right now, with this, in the simplicity of the Word of God, healing has come. Deliverance has come. Lord, I pray, do that which only you can do. Answer the cries of our hearts. Some of us, it's been a long time. The baby is awake right now. The baby is awakened, reawakened. There's a thirst. There's a thirst. Cry until God speaks to you. Cry until you hear the word. Every day, Lord, let that be my portion. Let that be my will. I set my will. Some of us need to start making that decision right now. Tell God, this is my decision from today. This is decision time. You have prayed, but decide. You need to take action.